Good to be in God's house with you tonight. Lovely to see you all. Good to see some older faces and a lot of young faces. I just love it that this generation is doing this stuff in the kingdom. I think this is a very powerful movement that you belong to, and it's good to be with you this evening. Reina and Liana aren't here this evening. I know it's been his birthday and they've been away. So we connected during the middle of the year and just been so blessed to spend time with them. Very, very inspiring couple your pastors are. And I just, you know, when we were singing just now about the planets and the stars and stuff, I think one of the things when I worship is I think to myself, according to what scientists understand, there are 100 billion stars in our galaxy that we live in. But I mean, there could be like 100 billion and one or two, I'm just saying. So it tells us in the scripture that he made them, and that's like, wow. And then he placed them, and then it says he named them. He named every star, 100 billion. That's just our galaxy, guys. That's not the... It's actually uncountable. If you go and Google it, it's got so many noughts you can't pronounce it. He's big. This God that we serve, he is big. And he's able. He's able. He's so able. And I just love that. I think if you look at the English language, it has 26 letters in the alphabet. And you think of all the names, there are hundreds, probably thousands of names of people around us, and all the sentences and thousands of books, and you go in a library, get e-books, and you see the capability of a language of 26 letters, what it is. And you think, he speaks every language on the face of the earth. He knows every single word. The tongues of angels he knows. Imagine the capability of a being like that. He's so great. He's so wonderful. And I was at the earlier service too and preached, and I love the sense of your worship in this place. I just really love it. And just keep pressing in, because there's stuff that's going to happen that we don't expect. You know, he comes to meet with us in unusual ways as we open our hearts to him, as we worship him. Amen. So I want to thank Reina and Liana for the invite. I'm from Tableview, and Arthur and I have been doing God for 44 years, and we've been doing church for 44 years, and we have been married for 36 of those years, and serving the Lord together. And then in this time, this quite a long journey, obviously to some of you, you weren't even twinkles in your parents' eyes then, it's so long ago. But I was always interested in counseling, felt called to counseling, did a degree, studied, registered, all that stuff, and then have been counseling for 30 years just in my own walk and process, seeing lots of people. So it's in the light of that that I want to tell you about this particular story. I had a phone call from a mom that was very, very desperate, and she said to me that her daughter has been cutting herself, and she's been to see all kinds of people, and she hasn't really been able to get help. And is there any possibility that I can see her kind of the last port of call? And, you know, but like no pressure at all. So as I normally do, I thought, well, I'll see her and then we can work out. I'll see her for an hour or an hour and a half initially, just find out the stuff. And then we'll start working on the reason that she would be doing this, because the person doesn't just do it. There are reasons for stuff. So anyway, I saw her, and she was extremely oppressed and extremely vulnerable emotionally and going through a very, very difficult time. So once I'd spent a bit of time with her, I thought, this isn't like we're just going to see each other and then make a date for later. There's stuff going on here that's really, really serious. So during the course of the conversation, as we're going in now, an hour or two into it, she says to me, she wants to tell me something. So I say to her, yeah. So she says, she had been telling me she's been on the internet with a cutting thingy, and that's where she finds her friends, and they all cut, and they take photos of their stuff, and they post it, and whatever. it's a whole, like a whole other world of cutting on the internet. So you guys probably know all about that. It was new to me. I knew about it, but I didn't understand the extent of it, that a person could be drawn in. So she says, but I just also want to tell you that I've made a suicide pact on the internet with people across the world. So okay. So she, I say, when for? So she says, no, tonight. So it was a certain date with a certain hour and whatever. It's all deeply spiritual stuff that she'd got involved in. So I'm like, okay, I can't let that happen. God has entrusted her to me tonight, and it's amazing. There's lots of things of how she actually got to me that were very unusual, and I could see that God had orchestrated it, and I just thought, I can't let this kid die on my watch. It's that simple. So I said to her, I showed her the scripture that is in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. I said to her, what you have got to do tonight is you have got to choose life. From the inside of your heart, you've got to make that choice. And she's like, I can't do it. So what I also realized that with all the cutting that she'd been doing, it becomes a very strong power base for the enemy, actually for a demonic stronghold to be there, that had become very controlling to her in her life. So we really battled, and the more, and I'm really interceding, and I'm thinking to myself, I need some prayer back up here, which I just couldn't get at that time of night and the way it was working out and so on. And I thought, if I can get to Arthur, then I can get him to back up in prayer, but he was busy with people. So what I did was I went outside, and on the top of my voice, I filled my lungs with air, and I shouted the name of Jesus. I called on him, probably like I've never called on him before, because I knew if we don't get a breakthrough here, she will die tonight, and that just cannot happen. It must not happen. So anyway, that grip of death and destruction was so very, very strong on her. So I don't know if she ever heard me shout. I don't know. She never said anything. I never said anything. But when I came back from shouting, you know, there's power in the shout. If you look at the walls of Jericho, they came down on the power of a shout. If you look at Gideon, that army shouted. There are many times in Psalms, it's shout. And there's different stuff. There's like shouts of faith, shouts of war, shouts of joy. There's a lot of different shouts that a person can give. And when I came in, I could feel that the atmosphere had started shifting. So I thought, okay, we've got some headway here. But we struggled. She just said, I can't. And the more we talked and the more we prayed, and the more resistance there was, it was a really difficult evening until late in the evening. And I thought, the time of a suicide pact cannot come. This has got to happen before that hour comes. Because if that comes, it's almost like something will kick in and trigger, and we cannot let that happen. And it started shifting. And eventually, she said, I choose life. And when she said those words, when those words came out of her mouth and out of her heart, and when she actually made that choice, that thing snapped. I could feel the shift that came when that happened. And she stayed on quite a bit, and I walked a long road with her. And although she has faced a lot of challenges and difficulties, and you know, as life is not straightforward. She's never again gone back to that thing of death, destruction, suicide, and all that stuff. Because there is enormous power in choice. Enormous power in choice. Life is choices. Life is choices. So I was preaching a while back in our own church. I was just saying, what would you like to be written on your tombstone? That was my sermon for the day. And I gave them a chance to think about it, and then I said to them, and what is going to be written on my tombstone? So the whole church shouted, "Life is choices!" Because it's one of the most fundamental understandings that even when life is impossible and difficult and you're walking the hell road and you don't know what to do, people are against you, stuff happens, we have a choice. We actually always have a choice. The amazing thing is that animals don't have choice. No other life form on earth has choice except us people. Animals don't, ants don't, giraffes don't, monkeys don't. Nothing has choice. But God made us with free will and with choice. And I think when we worship Him from our hearts, He loves that so much because it's our choice to worship Him. You know, a lot of you look too young to have kids, so but you'll just have to trust me on this one, that it's the most incredibly touching moment when a little snotty three-year-old runs up to you with a daisy because they picked it for you and because they love you. You know, we could program a robot to say, "Praise the Lord." It would mean nothing. It's the free will aspect of the praises that I believe touch the heart of God. That is the thing, that as we release that, it moves His heart. And it shifts stuff in the spirit. It's such a powerful weapon that He's given us. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." There's lots of stuff about choice in scriptures. Now, all of us have made some bad choices. I think everybody. I'm guessing. Okay, I just want to say some worse than others. All of us have made bad choices. All of us have failed at things. All of us have gone through hard times because that is the reality of life. But if we continue to make bad choices and build on that, it begins to stand in our life, over our life, in the spirit realm. If we keep on doing the same thing over and over again, it becomes a stronghold in our life, which eventually needs to be broken. But this is the good stuff. When we keep making good choices, we keep doing the right thing, we keep walking in the way that God wants us to walk, that becomes established over our life in the spirit realm, and it stands there. And the amazing thing is that every single one of us right now, as we sit here, have got a history that can be read in the spirit. And the most wonderful thing about that is that every good thing that stands and is established is unmovable. The good choices that you've made, they stand over your life. And the bad choices that you've made, even if they still stand, it's got the potential to be completely washed away by the blood of Jesus. If that hasn't been done yet, that can be done. He can actually remove all the trace of our failures and our sins and our past and our difficulties completely. It goes completely out of the way. And we stand with this legacy and this heritage over our life in the Lord. Such a powerful thing. You know, we're not just walking through life. We're not just doing life day by day. We are making a legacy for the generations if we love God and are serving Him, which is so very, very powerful. So we are free to choose. As we are sitting here, we are free to choose. But we are not free of the consequences of our choices. So an example is if I would hop into my car and ride like a maniac down the main road and make an accident and lose a leg, it's pretty sure that that leg is not going to grow again. I'm going to live with the consequences of a poor choice, a very poor choice. So when we make the good choices, there's a momentum that comes into our lives. The more you choose well, the more you choose well. The more you choose well, the more you overcome. So over the years of walking with people and counseling people, helping people to find perspective and so on, I've worked with lots of people with so many different things I can't even remember. I eventually made myself a lake of forgetfulness so that when I've seen somebody, I kind of pop it there somewhere and I don't take it home with me. because there are so many stories and so many things that happen to people. Everything from addictions, life-threatening challenges that people go through, difficult times, or anorexias, the bulimias, you know, all those kind of struggles that people have. And when I was preparing this some time back, I was just thinking of this one young woman that I walked with that had bulimia. So she was binging and purging a couple of times a day, and it was such a struggle for her. And as she began, she accepted the Lord, and as she began to become established in Him and to know Him and to walk with Him, it got better and better. And it went to once a day, then it went to like once every second day, and then once a week. And eventually she walked right out of that bulimia. And she found other coping mechanisms, other ways that she could live well, like good kingdom life, you know. So encouraging when you see people come out of that stuff. And she'd really been struggling a lot with self-esteem, and when she was small, she never really had choices. So I think it was quite difficult for her. That was an area that she really struggled with. Eventually, when she had choices, she didn't know what to do with herself. And she'd been under very tight control. But eventually she found herself, got established in the Lord, very powerful. You know, the pain comes up. They call it the pain chain. The pain comes up. We all have pain. So it comes from somewhere. Stuff has happened and it comes up to visit various times of the night or day. And then nobody likes pain. So what you want to do is you want to make the pain go away. And there's different ways of making the pain go away. And one of them is bulimia, you know, to binge and to purge, to eat and then go and vomit and stuff like that. People watch porn. They cut themselves. There's lots of ways of getting a flood of whatever makes you feel better to come over you to help that pain to subside. But the bottom line truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that He came to heal the brokenhearted and that He's able to set us free from stuff like that. He's able to help us to find new coping mechanisms so that we can walk well, strong, healthy in the kingdom and in ourselves. In Genesis 1:27, the blueprint for humanity is given, and it says, God created male and female in His image. So have you ever, I used to wonder this when I was younger. I used to think, is God black or is He white or is He Chinese or like, is He Jewish as well? Or, you know, what is He? Because we're made in His image, so, and we're all so different. And then I began to understand that God is three in one. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are three in one, spirit, soul, and body. We are made in His likeness. We are made in His image. How amazing is that? So I want to read you a couple of scriptures here, three scriptures. The first one is 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's a powerful transforming that takes place in our lives when we come into the kingdom, when we're born again, when we get to know Him, when we walk with Him, the strong transformation. Colossians 3:10, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We are becoming more and more like Him as we walk with Him. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new self, created after the likeness or the image of God in true righteousness and holiness. So you see, making good choices, making strong choices as we are following Jesus is a huge part of our relationship with Him and a huge part of personal transformation. It's no good accepting Him as your Savior and living in your old ways. There has to come a time where we change that stuff, where we have the power to change, which is so wonderful. In fact, if you look at like all the religions of the world and all that kind of thing, or philosophies that people walk in and stuff like that, there is nothing that can even begin to compare with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the transforming power that is found in the gospel. You know, some people, I've seen people like this, they get a bee in their bonnet and they feel bad because they've been living a wild lifestyle or whatever, and they think, I need to like get to a church and I need to be a better person. And I just want to tell you now that Christianity has got nothing to do with being a better person at all. That's religion. When you are trying on the outside to be a good person, being born again in Christianity is receiving Jesus Christ into your spirit and being transformed from the inside out as you walk with him. That's the one huge difference. People say about this religion and that religion or whatever, there's no comparison between a relationship and a religion. There's no comparison between being transformed from the inside, and that leads to outward changes. But you can't change it from the outside. Put that in place and then think you'll be different inside. It doesn't work like that. So, I mean, we've all seen people who walk with no authority in their Christian walk at all. They don't, they talk the walk. They don't walk the talk. Never mind, you know what I'm trying to say. It's been a long day. Their actions match up with their words. And that's what we want with the kingdom of God. So when we press through the very hard times that we go through, is there anybody here who's never been through a hard time? Okay, just checking. When we press through those hard times rejoicing, I know we've been around a long time. We've been through some tough times together. The one particular time, we called it the Hell Road. It was 3 years of the Hell Road. And back in the day, my daughter brought this song home, and it was, I don't know the name of it, but these are some of the words. It said, praise him in the morning, praise him in the evening, praise him when you're young and when you're old, praise him when you're laughing, praise him when you're grieving, praise him in every season of the soul. And we got hold of that song, boy, and that hell road, there were some tough days. I didn't think I was going to make it. And then I used to, like, praise you in the morning, praise you in the evening. I will praise you. I will praise you. And that all stands now over my life in the spirit. But it was tough. It was tough to make the choice because things were so difficult at that time. I wanted to feel sorry for myself. So I don't know if you understand how nice it is to feel sorry for yourself. It's always nice to just take a moment to reflect how lovely it is to feel sorry for yourself. But truly, we have got to get past that. We've got to get past ourselves and pressing into those deeper things that he has for us. When we reach out to others or when we obey the prompting of the still small voice of the Lord. You know, when he calls it a still small voice, he's not joking. But when we obey it, when we hear it and obey it, when we spend time worshiping, when we read the word, all of these things cause us to grow in the spirit. And all of the times that we choose to do that, it gets established in our lives and then it stands over our lives. I remember, you know, in the very early days that I was saved, I knew about praising and worshiping in church. I'd come out of a situation, a very formal church situation. And in those days, we sang choruses. So I can't think of any offhand now, but there were very, like, four lines of a song, simple. We just used to sing it. And it was very, very wonderful to sing. And I forgot where I was going to go with that one. Oh, yes. I found praise and worship in church. Like, I'd never been, I was 17. I was like, wow, that's praise and worship. So every Sunday I went to church, I would praise and worship. I thought, this is so exciting. This is, like, so wonderful. And then one day I discovered that I could praise and worship by myself. I never knew that, you see. I never understood that. And so, you know, back in the day, I don't know if you know what a tape is, but anyway, we had tapes. We had tapes and tape recorders. Put it in the tape recorder, and I started praising God by myself. It was a whole total new dimension. I was so excited. So in my excitement, I decided to run down the passage. So I did. I ran down the passage, and then I hopped on the lounge suite, and I kind of did a little bounce in the lounge suite. I ran down the passage again. And it liberated something in me. It was a realization. You know, we assume that people know that you can praise and worship by yourself. We assume that people know all this stuff. I didn't. I was 17. I'd never heard of such a thing in my life. We sang these terrible hymn things, but not the hymns like we know. It was other stuff. And just God liberated me to praise and worship like that. It was so wonderful. So for every single one of us, we are faced every single day with choices. So as I was saying earlier, the choices that I face regularly, should I buy a whole nut or a Milky Bar? Just one of my choices. But these different choices that we have to make affect our spirit, affect our soul, affect our body. There are all kinds of different choices that we will face. Joel 3 and verse 14 says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Now, I know that scripture speaks about nations, but I believe that there is a parallel, there is a personal parallel that can run or does run with us. So how often do we find ourselves in a difficult or a dark place just when we need to make decisions? Have you noticed that? Like you're praying and battle to find God and stuff like that. It's not always straightforward, but we need to press in. We need to keep making the good choices, keep on going with Him. But there's one choice that every person that's ever been born on the face of the earth will have to make. And that choice that they're going to be faced with is, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, really? Who is He? Every person is going to face that question at some stage in their lives. I'm so glad and I really thank the Lord that I was challenged with that when I was 17. And I accepted Him then at that time. But everyone's going to face it. And Arthur had a very interesting experience with the old Ermi a number of years ago. And he had taken ill. He was on his deathbed. Arthur went to visit him in Tigerberg Hospital. And he was lying there, and he was on his last. His wife was with him, and she was very tired. Arthur said to her, go home, sleep, shower, and do the stuff. And he stayed the night with this old man. Now, this old man was in a church in Pretoria. And when he came to us, we assumed he was saved. When he sang, he raised his hands. When he talked, he said, praise the Lord. I mean, doesn't that make you a Christian? So we had never thought to make sure of his salvation at that stage. Anyways, on his deathbed, he's in a coma. So he's been lying there for a couple of days. Arthur's sitting there. He tries to pull himself up. He tries to sit forward. And he says, who is Jesus Christ? Now, he's old. I don't know how old he was, but he was old, older than Arthur. That's old. My honey is going to be 70 in January, so we're going to celebrate. So, you know, when you are on your deathbed, I speak from experience. I cannot. But I have been with many people dying of cancer and various other things, a number of people. They are not worried about the gold price. They are not worried about platinum. They are not worried about supper. They are not worried about actually anything. I'll tell you the things they're worried about. They're worried about God, and they're worried about friends and family. Well, let's say family and friends. Is everything right with family and friends? When those things aren't right, people struggle on their deathbeds. You have some terrible, terrible deathbeds. But this Ermi, and then he went back into his coma again. Arthur explained to him the whole thing, who Jesus Christ is, what salvation is, the whole thing. And he listened. And then he became comatose again. I mean, completely unresponsive and gone. Couple of hours again. Who is Jesus Christ? The whole night. In the morning, all the family had been there, they'd greeted, they'd spent time with him, but he was waiting for his one son to arrive. And Arthur said it was the 6 o'clock flight, and he heard it coming over the hospital. He said to him, Uncle Henry, you hear that plane that's going over the hospital now? That's the plane that your son is on. and he died. He just breathed his last and he died. And he never came to be able to say if he had understood or accepted, because Arthur had then prayed with him how to accept Jesus and how to transact that. But we trust in God. The Word of God says that the scepter of his kingdom is a righteous scepter. So we know that the judgment that he makes on Judgment Day is the fairest that ever could be to any person. So that I always find that a very sobering story. And, you know, we tend to think that because people are in church or we're also a Pentecostal church, that they're right with God and they're good and they're fine. But sometimes we need to just double check even our own standing with God. It's just really important. So what I want to ask you is, what good choices are you making? What good choices are you currently making in your life that are building you up? Like in all, not just in your spirit, but just in your life. That's helping you to grow, that's taking you further, making you stronger. What are the good choices that you have got in place right now? Take a moment to think about that. And then, what are the bad choices that you are currently making that would be pulling you down, that wouldn't be serving you in your growth in the kingdom or in your growth as a person? What would be those bad choices? Normally, a person doesn't need to think that long with the bad choices. The good ones we need to think about, but the bad ones, they kind of pop up by themselves, don't they? And the real question is, how can I bring about a change to the bad choices that I'm making and transfer that into something that will serve me well for my destiny and for the kingdom? It's a good thing to think of. So I want to ask you tonight, seeing as I don't know anybody here except my husband. I knew Liane in the last service, but now. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, sometimes, I don't know if any of you have ever read about the old revivalists. They used to hold these meetings and preach, and then the people would come forward, and they would agonize for hours getting saved. It would be like when they stood up from that agonizing, they were saved. You know, I see, at the time that I got saved, I don't know how to put this, it was different. When we got saved, we gave everything to God. We lived for him. But now I often see people come forward, they say the sinner's prayer, they come to church, but nothing is changed. They're still behaving the same, talking the same, doing the same. If there is no fruit after a salvation prayer, then you can't be saved. Because the Word of God says you'll know them by their fruit. That fruit has got to start popping. As soon as you're saved, that fruit has got to, there's got to be different things. People need to be saying to you, what happened to you? Or people need to come up to you and say, I want what you've got. So we need to look and understand and check that we are really born again, that we have accepted Jesus Christ into our lives, and that we have confessed to him, although he knows it very well, that we are sinners, and get the slate wiped clean. And we've had people that come, they say, yeah, but I've had this and I've had this disadvantage and I've had that and it was like it all went wrong and whatever. Then you say, okay, but be born again then. Be born again. You know, God is so amazing how he made life. We've got a new start every day. His mercies are new every morning. Every single morning we wake up, it's new, potentially new for us. Then he gives us new weeks. And then he gives us new months. Then he gives us new years. And he gives us seasons. And he also gives us the opportunity any time that we choose to come to him with a heart of repentance to make a new start. It's like he's constantly saying, you can, any minute you want to change, you can. Because that potential is there in the gospel. Such an amazing God of opportunity for us all the way. So when the Lamb's Book of Life is open and we are standing before the one that sees, knows everything about us, and there's no friend to lean on, no boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, family, there's nobody, it's just you. And he's going to look at you with those eyes that know everything. And those books are going to be opened. Is your name going to be written there? Because you can know that. You can actually know that. He's made it possible by his Spirit for us to know that we know when we are connected with him. It's quite simple. We are either connected or not connected. And we can be religious and not connected. And we need to know and look in our hearts and be absolutely certain about it. Because life is uncertain. Because we've been in the ministry a long time. We had lots of funerals in our lives. I think it was 2014. We didn't bury 26 people. But we had 26 people in our circle of some in the church and the rest friends or family that died. It was just a year of funerals. It was incredible. And let me tell you, they weren't like old Uncle Henry. There were a whole bunch of young people that died. It's not like you can say, okay, I'm young, so just let me live it and, you know, whatever, and I'll have time, because we don't know. We actually don't know. So I believe that when we have an opportunity and God's word goes out to us, he looks for a response. I believe he always looks. What will the response of your heart be this evening? So I want to ask you tonight, we're going to close our eyes and we are going to look on the inside of our hearts. And Father, I pray right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will come and minister to every heart. If there is an assurance of salvation, I thank you for it. I thank you for everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Father, if there are people here tonight who are not sure or who know that they are not, then I pray that you will quicken them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that today will be the day of salvation for those who are not saved. We ask for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I want to make an invitation. If you would like to come forward to receive Jesus Christ or for that assurance of salvation, if you would like to come forward because you need a healing touch in your body or in your emotions, you'd like to come forward just to transact something with God, I want to invite you now. There is a ministry team. I'd like the ministry team to come forward. And then if anybody would like prayer, please come.